Welcome to All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.
Welcome back, man. Season 2 of All the Smoke.
We got a real special guest.
What's up with you, Brody, with the virtual handshake?
I'm going to tell y'all something that I never told nobody.
I want all the smoke.
Welcome back to another edition of All the Smoke. Jack, what's up with you, bro?
My boy, what's going on? Holiday season.
Yes, it's here, man. Can't call it, just chilling. Just got back from Arizona with the Twins for a little AAU tournament. Now it's my off week. Kick my feet up and catch up on life, man. Was everything good out there?
Yeah, everything good, man. We're getting ready to go home for the holidays. But how did the boys do in the tournament?
They won the championship, man. So we went out to Arizona, did our thing. So we got to head out to J.O.'s having a tournament in Dallas next month. That'll be like the top five teams in the country. So we got a chance to fuck around and get number one. So I'm looking forward to it.
I might got
to
pull up.
Yeah. Anyway, man, the newest Golden State Warriors. We're both a fan of this young player. Very talented, exciting, light-skinned killer. Welcome Kelly Oubre to the show, man. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for having
KO.
Me.
KO.
Pleasure to be
What's
here
up,
with
bro?
You guys.
Golden State Warriors. I mean, that's something Jack and I know, you know, a lot about. That's where, you know, our brotherhood began in 2007, and then I was fortunate enough to go back in 17 and win a ring before I left. But, man, tremendous organization, top-notch. We saw you messing around with our guy Raymond Ritter before. Mm-hmm. What has it been like? I mean, what was the experience from, damn, I got traded from Phoenix to OKC, and then next thing you know, now I'm in Golden State. What was that, you know, 72 hours like?
Man, it's been a whirlwind. Obviously, you know, the business of basketball, it could be, you know, very just anxiety filled. You don't know what's going on, you know, with your future. But at the end of the day, man, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, me sitting here with this Warriors shirt on is for a reason. So, you know, I'm trying to make the best out of this situation.
Have you got a chance to talk to any of your new teammates yet?
Yeah, I actually been in the facility for the past 2 days, just checking in. Steph reached out via text before I actually met him in person. Draymond reached out yesterday. You know, and everybody who is in town, yeah, I've been able to just check in with. So just trying to seamlessly transition over here, you know, to just flow with these guys in this locker room.
Hey, one thing I love about the organization, you know, I played for a lot of teams. I won championships with other teams, but they make you feel like family, dog. They make you feel appreciated, they make you feel wanted. And one thing about it, me and Matt know what you're going to do on the court, so you're going to be just fine, bro, because they're going to make sure they take care of everything else.
I look at you, too, man, as people who laid the groundwork for just that 90s, 80s basketball era, you know, even when you guys weren't necessarily in that era to end your careers, man. So that whole energy of just being hard-nosed and going out there and not really taking any shit, but also just being professional about it all has just been kind of something that I've been blessed to know that guys have already done that. And I obviously like to play with a lot of fire and a lot of passion. So, I mean, the hoop going to take care of itself. It's just about the energy and the relationships.
Yeah, appreciate that.
You have a lot of fun. Well, where were you at when you heard the Klay Thompson news? Because, you know, kind of, whether it was directly connected or not, that's somehow, to me, I think, how you ended up going to Golden State. So where were you at when you heard that, you know, after tearing his ACL, rehab and be ready to go, he tears his Achilles?
I was at the house, man. It was just that same window. Nobody had reached out to me from OKC just yet, so I just kind of figured something was in the wind going down. The next day, Sam Presti actually called me and said that I'm going to be moving to OKC. And that he just wanted what was best for me in my career. So, I mean, I respect him for calling me and telling me that he was looking to move me just because, you know, they had other plans for their team. And then, obviously, I get the news from my homie Cam. He said that Klay went down. So I kind of got a gist that some of the Warriors organization were going to call pretty soon after that. But, you know, I wasn't trying to put too much faith and too much hope in that because I can't control anything. But, I mean, all in all, they did call. So, yeah.
As players, even as players that's not even in the game no more, when we hear news like that about Klay, it's devastating, bro, because the NBA is really not the same without a guy like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, with that happening, I know everybody around the world, especially basketball players, you know, he was like, damn, man, not again.
Yeah, man, I can't wait till he get back. Straight up.
See y'all together? My God.
Yeah.
Now, that'll be scary. I mean, especially, you know, especially with it, it was bad luck, you know what I mean, for him to go down in the finals and then take the full amount of time to recover, which people don't do too often. Mm-hmm. You know, everything you're hearing, you know, we had Steve Kerr on the show earlier in the year talking about, you know, Clay's back in the mix, he's looking good. And then, you know, less than a month before training camp, you know, something like this happened. So we're definitely sending shout outs to our guy, Clay.
Yeah.
Get better. I got a chance to talk to him, you know, the other day briefly on IG. So, you know, praying for the best. But, you know, the team has to move forward. So, you know, they loaded up at that position, brought you in. So you're going to have some fun out there.
Yes, sir.
Let's take it back to your early years. Grew up in New Orleans, Louisiana. What was that like?
New Orleans was tough, man. I think
the boot.
Yeah. You know, right before 2005, we had really just moved out of Uptown. We moved pretty much from the whole project field area to the east. And, like, if you know about it, the east is where, like, Eastover is. That's where Birdman lived. That's where,
yeah,
you know, Currency lived. So I didn't live in that neighborhood, of course. But I live, you know, down the street. But we had a pretty substantial, like, you know, middle-class life. But it was very new. And then it all got wiped away as soon as 2005 hit. So, you know, I had to go through the struggle once again. But it was just all in all, man, a humbling experience for me because I knew where I came from forever. And, you know, I credit New Orleans. I always call New Orleans the place that, you know, that pretty much raised me, because without that adversity, I wouldn't be who I am.
I'm from Port Arthur. That's like 5 hours away from you, bro. And we go through the same things. We were devastated too. But a lot of people from New Orleans came from New Orleans to Port Arthur to Texas, you know what I'm saying, when all this was going on. And a lot of people don't understand how people's lives was just shifted, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm talking about overnight. I'm talking about Matt. I had people coming to me, he was talking about Birdman. I'm talking about Gutter and Lil Mario and them. They pulled up to me. I'm talking about their hands would look like they were playing in swamp water for weeks, bro. They had calluses all that just to survive, to get out of that, to get to Texas, bro. So, like, just for people to really understand what everybody in New Orleans went through around that time, and to be able to come through that and survive, you know what I'm saying, you got to salute them.
Man, salute to Texas, though, man, for just opening their arms. Although it was a lot of strife going back and forth, two cultures intermingling, but Texas really held it down, man. You got to appreciate the people who can, like, help another city out and then really house them and just allow them to be a part of theirs, man. So, salute.
It was dope, yep.
Well, it's a big enough-ass state. As a 9 and 10-year-old, talk to us what it was like about, you know, Hurricane Katrina and what your thoughts were at that age. You know, I have kids that are a little bit older than that, but I couldn't imagine having to just completely uproot them. All of our shit is gone, and we got to go to a whole nother state. As a 9 and 10-year-old, what was going through your mind at the time?
It was a lot, man. I didn't really know what was going on because nobody really told me nothing. All I knew was the day before the eye of the storm hit, shit, my dad told me to pack up my stuff and we about to get out of here. And then I was just thinking we finna go on a road trip, come right back home. But all in all, we went to Houston, and you know, it was a lot of uncertainty for me. And I couldn't do nothing financially. I couldn't do nothing emotionally to, like, really help my dad out. So that's what stuck. That's my motivation to this day. Like, I remember feeling like lost and stuck, that I couldn't do nothing to help my family. And that's really when I turned up and was like, all right, I gotta be somebody in life to help my family so we don't go through this again. So, I mean, those years, man, really stuck with me forever.
So you transitioned to Houston, Texas. 2013, you commit to Kansas. What was it about Kansas over the other schools that drew your attention?
I mean, Bill Self was somebody that was there. You know, he had a great system in play. I didn't go on no other visits. You know, I went on one visit late night in the fog, and it felt right. But at the end of the day, you know, it was a plan for me to utilize a big program to get to where I wanted to get to. Mm-hmm. You know, Coach Self, you know, he seemed to be bought in at first until I got there and then played the first 9 games of my college career. So it kind of threw me for a loop. But like I said, everything is a learning experience, man. And I learned that everything ain't going to be handed to you. You know, you got to really go out there and work. So. Mm.
That's real shit. So when you get there, you don't play the first 9 games of your freshman season. Going into that situation, were you thinking 1 and done, 2 years? What was your mindset? Because you said it was just going to be a springboard to get ultimately to where you're at now. What was your vision going into college?
I mean, I could kind of say that I was feeling myself a little bit. You know, I was projected top five. And then Coach Self said, nah, you ain't nothing. You ain't shit. So I kind of, it really humbled me, man. And I have the ultimate respect for him for not giving me anything easy or handed to me. So, but at the end of the day, he got to play his cards too. And, you know, all in all, I see the business of it. But, yeah, that was one of those things that really knocked me back, because when I got to Washington my first year, I didn't play at all. So, you know, it was something that got me ready for the league, for real.
A lot of times when coaches see something in you that you don't see, or see stuff that you need to work on, or the player you need to be to get to where you want to go. I know me, I didn't go to college, so my kind of transition was like that was with Popovich. I was a rookie all-star. I was like top two or three in scoring with all rookies. Then I go to San Antonio my second year and don't play at all until I sit on the injury list the whole year. You know what I'm saying? But it was a learning experience, because the next year when I came back, all the stuff he was teaching me about playing defense to keep you on the court and all that, I went hard on that times 10, and I had a long career. So I'm glad that you got the mindset that you look at everything as a learning experience, because that shows how far that you're going to go real far, you know, in this game.
Appreciate that, man. Yeah.
Well, that's what people don't understand. I mean, you know, us being able to play, you know, 14, 15 years in the league, it's never really about that. I mean, obviously, talent is what's to get you there, but it's your mental approach and being able to handle, understand the situation. You know, my first 3 or 4 years, I didn't play at all. You know what I mean? My first year I played, and then once I got traded to Philly, I sat on that bench, and it was dark. You know, kind of sometimes doubting yourself, questioning yourself, working extra, still not getting a chance to play. It's just like, you know, what the fuck do I got to do to play? Mm-hmm. But that's where some people go left, and some people never recover from that, man. So salute to you for, you know, holding it down and fighting through the storm. So you get drafted the 15th pick overall to a young up-and-coming team at the time with John Wall and Bradley Beal. What was it like playing alongside of those two elite guards coming into the league for you?
It was amazing, man. You know, Five and B, they really just, like, are two dudes who, like, gonna get it. Like, they just gonna get it no matter what, no matter if the odds are stacked against them, no matter what people are saying about them. I watched those dudes, man, just shut up all the naysayers, man, like, for real. And it gave me the motivation to really want to do the same, to just throughout my whole career consistently, like, no matter what, they just continuously with themselves, and they just shut up everybody that's ever doubted them. So I think that energy from those two, man, will always stick with me too, because I learned from two of the most solid individuals in the league. That was the blessing. It was a blessing in disguise, man, because I really just soaked up all the knowledge I can get from them.
No, that's how you got to take it. That's dope. So what was you said your first year you sat, you started getting in the rotation your second year. What do you feel like your welcome to the NBA moment was? Was it, you know, something you did to somebody? Somebody busted your ass? Like, when did you realize, like, oh, shit, I'm here now. I'm in the mix.
Gerald Henderson, Philadelphia 76ers, man. I got a steal. I got a steal, man, and I baptized them. And I looked at their bench and smiled. And I was like, damn, like, that felt good. So, like, every time, you know, I would do something like that, I would just smile and just like, all right, let's get it. But it was that, because he was a big bully, man. You know what I'm saying?
He played hard.
And, like, he was trying to intimidate people. But, like, all salute to him, man. He really did play hard. And then, you know, it was somebody that I kind of respected throughout my time growing up, too. So to be able to bless him was an amazing feeling.
You caught some big guys too. Hey, he done dunked on some big fellas. He ain't just catching guards. Like, he one stepping big fellas too, man.
Yeah, I'm
gonna catch everybody. Nasty. He's a 7 foot hunter. So you got early, playoff experience with the Washington Wizards. What was that experience like? You know, you 1 year in college, you're thrown in the fire. Your first year you don't play. You start getting in the mix, and then you're in the playoffs, the highest level of NBA basketball. What did you learn and take with you from those early years in the playoffs?
Man, I learned that the playoffs is where you need to get to. It's the 82-game season is amazing, you know, yeah. But if you're not in that offseason, what did you do during that whole 82-game season? And, you know, getting to the playoffs, I just felt the energy. You know that you guys know that the energy in that playoffs is different. Like, you see T-shirts on the chairs in the arena. You know, the fans are for sure going to pack the house. And, like, you have to come to play every game. So, you know, it was something that I really just always fiend for that. And I want to get back to the playoffs, you know, as bad as ever now, because I need to feel that energy again, because that's where the elite compete.
Absolutely. Right. So we're almost 2 years to the point where you were traded from Washington to Phoenix. Washington, a team in the playoffs, going to Phoenix, where a team that's trying to find an identity. Beautiful city. I love it out there. A young star in Devin Booker, who you came in the league with and had been playing against. What was it like to understand that, like, that was really your first taste of the business? Like, damn, they drafted me. Now I'm off to Phoenix.
Right.
What was that experience like for you?
Man, everything, you know, every trade that I've been a part of, man, it's really just been like a what the fuck moment, for real. Like, because, you know, in Washington, I got traded after the Brooklyn game, and all my teammates crowded around me and was just, you know, consoling. Like, they coming to, you know, pretty much my need, because they knew that I was a young kid who really didn't understand the business of it. So, you know, I appreciate Markeith, John, Brad, everybody who really just helped me out through that first trade. And, you know, I get to Phoenix, and I'm motivated to really just show that I don't ever want to be traded again, like, for real. And I get to Phoenix, and, you know, it's all love from the city, from the organization, from the franchise. And, you know, obviously, you know, I got traded 2 weeks ago, and it was another moment towards I had just had a killer workout, too. Like, I was just feeling really good, showing them that I'm about to go off this season. And then, you know, after my workout, I come out, and everybody like, yo, check Twitter. I'm like, I don't look at, I ain't finna look at no Twitter, man. Y'all just tell me where I'm going. Like, that's what I had told Frank Kaminsky. And then, you know, it was just like, damn, like, I keep getting moved. But at the end of the day, it's the business. So, you know, I'm here in this situation right now, man, really just trying to fight for a home, you know, a longevity of to stay somewhere. So it's the business.
You'll definitely find it the way you're playing. I mean, I think you came into your own. Obviously, you showed flashes with the Wizards. I think in Phoenix, you really found some footing alongside with Devin Booker. How fun was your brief experience playing alongside him? Because you guys really made some noise for that team.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. It was a lot of fun to be able to – it felt like high school again for us, you know, class of 2014. We've been competing in the EYBL against each other for, you know, for the longest. So it was just – it felt like, you know, we were able to do something that, you know, we always wanted to do. Unfortunately, like, yeah, it's a different scenario now. But at the end of the day, we both are hoopers. So, you know, for me to be with him, you know, for those 2 years and learn that, you know, he was a franchise guy there. He put in the work and he put up the numbers and everything to be who he is. It just showed me that I'm not too far. You know what I'm saying? I got to keep working, because at the end of the day, I see my peer who is really doing, you know, something that I would love to do. And I'm going to just keep working, just keep my head down. But at the end of the day, I was there to, you know, be a supporting role in that cast. And at the end of the day, like, that's the way I got to continue to just work.
You touched on him being a franchise player. What did you see day in, day out? What did you learn from him? Because he's one of the young, bright superstars in the game. You're on your way to getting to that level. But what did you learn from him, working with him on and off the court for 2 years?
Man, it's just, you know, it's about the approach to the game. You know, it's about the approach to the game. He's going to go get his. Like, he's going to go make sure that he shows each and every person who – would ever have anything to say about him that this is what I do. I get buckets, you know, and I do it very smoothly because I'm good at it. So, you know, for me, it's about going out there and getting stops on the defensive end and getting buckets, because I'm a two-way player. So, you know, I can bring that to the table. And, you know, I really salute to him, you know, for being, you know, just a professional and just coming out the mud from that Phoenix team and trying to, you know, make some shake for the city.
Yeah, I saw when they said they were trading CP, I was like, damn, I know Kelly has to go in that trade. But if you would have got a chance to play with CP, Book, and the big fella out there, man, that could have been scary. Yeah. But, hey, man, you ain't going to state now. You know, you're going to a team that had went to the finals, you know, won 3 out of 4 championships, you know, arguably one of the greatest teams of all time, set the win record. When it sinks in, like, although it's not the same team, they've battled through injuries. Now that you're a Golden State Warrior, what does that mean to you?
It just means that now that I'm a Golden State Warrior, you know, we have to eliminate all doubts of any people that said that the Golden State Warriors didn't get this championships out the mud. Like, that, you know, all the bandwagon talk and all that stuff. Okay. Well, I am not of the superstar status of a KD, but I can be just as effective with this group of people because we can flow together and work together to achieve one goal. So I mean, that's really my mindset here. I want to eliminate all doubts about how great this organization is and how they have already laid the foundation to be great in the future. So that's it.
I want to bounce back a little bit. Last season, bubble, you get hurt going into the bubble. You were sidelined. What happened? Because I didn't really get a chance to hear. I know you did something to your knee, but what happened and how did it happen?
Yeah, I tore my meniscus, my right meniscus, and I had to get surgery right before the COVID and the quarantine stuff happened. So I get surgery around in March, and then everything shuts down, and I'm continuously rehabbing with the team at the facility, but I can't come in anymore due to the COVID. So I had to rehab from home and like just get right on my own, which was cool. Like, I'm always able to adapt to just different circumstances, but the mental clarity for me to go out there and compete at a high level, and especially after the season that I just came off of, I really didn't feel right going into the bubble and another uncertain trial run to just go all out and try to help this team. But at the end of the day, I was there to support, there to give all my energy to them and, you know, help them in any type of way to win. And they went 8-0, still didn't make it. So I feel as if even if I would have played, it would have kind of just put me in a position to where it's like, oh, Kelly Oubre hasn't been working. Kelly Oubre isn't where he was before, everything stopped. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of cons over the face of that time that I wasn't comfortable with dealing with at the time. But yeah, I'm back now, so.
No, you definitely made the right decision. Yeah. Like I said, I credited Clay earlier that Clay took his full time. That's the one thing, you can't listen to the whispers and the bullshit, especially when it comes to coming back from an injury. Obviously, the goal of the team is to get you on the court as fast as possible, but you have to understand you're your own business. And beyond this team, you got a full 15, hopefully 20-year career to play. So it's always important, even something with the meniscus. Meniscus was the only, knock on wood, surgery I had while I played, but I took the full time, coming back. And still, even when I took the full time coming back, I didn't feel right because I came back right before the fucking playoffs when I was with the Lakers. I'm just like, yo, I've been out for 8 weeks now, and I don't even – you know what I mean? So luckily nothing came of that, but I definitely think you made the right decision, man. You got to make sure you take care of yourself first, because that's the only way you're going to keep making this money and keep being able to do the job you love.
Thank you, man. Yeah, for sure. I wanted to hoop, believe that, but I just knew for a fact, like, I would rather just sacrifice, me wanting to hoop so bad than me being out here rehabbing and getting right, so.
Thoughts on the upcoming? Obviously, you haven't got a chance to play for a while, so you're probably one of the ones that are excited about, let's get this shit started. December 22nd can't come fast enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was on the call, actually, when everybody voted and we made the change. And I'm like, yo, let's get it. Like, but how are we gonna protect each other, in this midst of this uncertain COVID time? And that's the only question that I had, because there's some real stuff going on in the world. But at the end of the day, the energy of basketball is going to bring people more happiness than, anything else going on. So I'm just ready to get out there and just start just hooping for the fans. And, COVID is taking the fans away a little bit, too. So I just can't wait till we can get packed houses and arenas so we can really perform.
Have they explained to you guys what it's going to be like? Because, obviously you're in California now and we're hot. We're about to shut down, they say, in the next couple of days. So have they explained to you what game situations could possibly be like come December 22nd?
Honestly, man, I know for a fact it's going to be a percentage of fans, if any, to start out the season. It's going to be a lot of trial and error to see, how we could do the COVID testing and all that stuff for the people who come to the arena. But as a basketball, as a league, we're going to pretty much just keep everything moving and flowing just like they always do. 72-game season, of course, which is 10 games less than, it's normally been. And we're going to have a less preseason game. And we're going to end a little bit earlier than if we were to start in January. So it's a lot of pros to everything. But we just got to make sure everybody stay healthy because we don't want any outbreaks going on as we travel around the world. So.
Facts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they also got the play-in now. I was on the jump last week, and they talked about the play-in now. So now I think up to number 7 spot is up for grabs. I think 7 to 10, there's like a little round-robin tournament to get into the tournament. So it's going to be – I think that was the way the NBA trying to get a few more games and continue to make that TV revenue grow. Jack, being a former Warrior, a city you're still loved in to this day, what kind of advice would you give young bro about being in the Bay and what to expect?
Man, one thing about it, you're not going to find a city with more loyal fans. I mean, it's not going to be too much different just because it's not in Oakland, but the city going to love you, bro. And one thing about it, we love playing basketball, and I know you're similar. But the atmosphere is going to bring the best out you, bro. I played in a lot of teams, a lot of different states, but there's no city, there's no fans like Golden State. And on the flip side, like I said earlier, the organization, dog, I had been through a lot before I came there. You know what I mean? That was the first team after everything I had been through with the broad and the strip club stuff. As soon as I get there, Don Nelson make me a captain. You know, I've never been a captain before. This team relied on me as one of their star players. So this is the organization, dog, is probably by far my favorite and one of the top organizations to play for. But the city, along with the organization, you'll never find them come together to get the support like you do as a player there.
Love.
Facts.
Sure.
I'm excited because, I mean, being a fan of the Warriors and then being a fan of your game, I know how much they're going to fucking love you. Because you play hard as a motherfucker, you dunk, you shoot threes, and you play defense. Like, those are, like, their three favorite things, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? So I know you're going to bring a lot of excitement to the city. I'm looking forward to, like you said, it going back to somewhat normalcy so you can really experience what that energy is like, not mm-hmm. only on the court but off the court, because the energy off the court between those two cities out there, Oakland and San Francisco, man, the fan love is crazy, but just the yes. environment and the energy leading up to the playoffs out in the Bay, and the sun starts coming out, and the girls stay out. But the whole environment is definitely something special out there, man. So we're definitely, like I said, a fan of you and a fan of the Warriors, looking forward to you know, these next few years for you up there.
Appreciate yes, you, sir. Man. Thank you. Yeah, well, let me go get better so I can go ahead and perform.
Jack touched on it earlier, plenty of highlight dunks. Is there a couple of them that stand out for you? Because, like you said, you ain't got everyone from the smallest to the biggest in the game thus far.
JaVale McGee was my favorite.
I was going to say JaVale, man. He's a big dude. You know, he a big dude, like very tall. Like, you know what I'm saying? He knows how to block shots and time everything. But, you know, I had a quicker jump than him in that Laker game. And then the night after, I get PG.
You body PG. One dribble off the hook.
Yeah, I kind of made him a little salty, and I gave him the advantage too by trying to you know, chase down block one of his dunks, which I shouldn't have did, because it kind of like, you know, he could feel himself a little bit. But at the end of the day, man, I'm here. You know, I'm trying to compete with the best, and you know, I'm trying to be the best too. So that's really it. Like, I'm just really trying to go out there and just punish motherfuckers.
You want all the smoke. That's literally.
I do. Yeah. Straight up.
You know, you're not someone who talks much on the court. You let your playing do the talking, but you're someone who has these little antics when you dunk on motherfuckers with the blowing kisses and the push-ups and the smiles. Where did that come from? Because, like I said, me and Jack were someone, if we dunked on someone or did something, we're cussing the motherfucker out talking shit. You take the other approach, but it's just as effective.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess how much you could call, like, you know, a competitor. But at the end of the day, like a smooth shit talker, because that's just like some petty shit to get under somebody's skin, for real. It ain't really like coming at you like you two would do. You know what I'm saying? Y'all would just let a motherfucker know, like I can't necessarily do that in this era, man, which I would love to, but I got to just do it a different way. It got to be a little more smooth. So, right. You know, I got... What I'm starting to do, they starting to pick up on it anyway and give me texts for it. So I got to figure out some other way to talk shit too now. So
don't listen to Matt. Matt is an asshole. Yeah. You keep being a smooth asshole. Matt just an asshole. Right.
Yeah, man. I think I'm more light skinned and Matt more dark skinned. Obviously, Jack, you know what it is. Sure. Yeah, that's what it is, period.
Facts.
Yeah. Nah, that shit is... But real talk, Jack, I would rather have someone talk shit to me than, like, blow me a kiss or, like, smile, because that makes me want to fight.
That's going to drive you crazy, dog. That's going to drive you crazy.
That's why I do it, man, because I know.
Yeah, that's like, instead of punching someone, you slap them. Like, that's disrespectful as fuck. You know, Jack and I kind of caught the back end... The tail end of it, but social media is so prevalent in today's game. You're very active. You have a large following on it. How important do you feel like having a balance between obviously your profession but still staying active on social media is to you?
One of the best blessings that I've ever had was to meet like one of my best friends, Cam Beverly, who, you know, he is my, you know, my videographer. He is my creative director to my brands. So, you know, he really runs majority of my social media. You know, he'll post for me. He'll check my interactions, insights, you know, and all I gotta do is really whip up captions and send them to him. And it's just from music and songs that I listen to. So it's really an easy flow, but I know the importance of getting on the social media aspect of everything so that I don't stress myself out looking at comments and all that extraness. And, you know, I could just keep flowing and living my life. But, you know, social media is something that we all need just to build our brands. And other than that, like, I don't see it being anything else. Like, I'm not on there just to have fun or look at nothing. So I just try to use it to get money, for real.
The origin of Tsunami Poppy. Where that name come from? What does it mean?
Well, Tsunami is an upgrade from a wave. You know, it's just the flows of life, flows of energy. You know, I try to adapt, be water, for real, just like Bruce Lee said. And that's where the tsunami, the wave, the water, all that double entendres come from. And, you know, I just try to adapt like water, man. Life comes at you in full circle. You never really know what the hell is gonna happen the next day. But, you know, as long as you adapt to the times and you adapt and make sure that you come out on top, that's what everything is about. So it's really like a triumphant character. And I'm trying to just create, you know, somebody that people can look up and then realize that, damn, I could really do this too. You know, I could be somebody, you know, when in the darkest times of my life. So that's where that come from, man. I don't do it for people to call me Poppy or nothing like that, but I do see a lot of my little kids in the league, you know, coming in, you know, who appreciate the wave. I'm going to say that, you know, a lot of people appreciate the wave and they'll try to take the wave as one of theirs. So I just try to jump on top of it and say, I'm the father of creating shit. And that's it.
you definitely a wave guy. And a lot of people don't understand, man. It ain't what you got on. It's who got it on. I tell people that all the time. Now I tell my sons that. So, you definitely leading the culture in a wave, new wave.
Shout out too, man. I appreciate you. He sent me a nice little box of his sweatsuits when it first dropped, man. So that's love. You know, I had to support.
You know, the light skinned boys. You know, y'all pretty boys got to support each other, man. You pretty motherfuckers. You two pretty motherfuckers.
Jack, you was on the move around that time, man. You was really getting some stuff handled. I actually hit up the All the Smoke podcast, and I just realized that I was gonna be able to hit Matt up because I was in LA at the time, so. Yeah. You know, you was working, Jack.
Nah, I appreciate it. That was love.
Pretty boys connect.
That was, we touched on that. I mean, you just respect, man. You're fly with your shit and your movements, the way you move. Where did that style of fashion come from? Was that something you were born with, something you picked up on? And if so, who was someone you looked up to in that space to kind of get you on your own wave?
Man, I'm from New Orleans. So, you know, New Orleans has a culture about it that's smooth, jazz, French-esque. So, I mean, I've always just had that type of drip in my blood. So, for me to be able to, like, grow through high school, man, I was straight basketball shorts, hoodies, and maybe put on a pair of jeans with some Jordans or something. But I never really had that need for fashion or anything like that. But I started to get into it when my dad used to say, like, the stuff that I used to wear wasn't polished. He used to say I look homeless. But I used to be like, man, this would make me feel good, you know what I'm saying? And I would just continue to push that mold of trying to push that boundary of what made me feel good, man. Because, I mean, whatever I wear, dog, it's what makes me happy in that day. Like, so, you know, and when it comes to fashion, man, fashion is just a word at the end of the day. It's about how you rock it, you know, how confidently you rock it. And then, you know, if you can get somebody else to rock it, that's pretty much what that is.
Yeah, so, that's it.
Talk to them. In 2017, while we on the fashion tip, you caused a little controversy in the league by wearing a Supreme leg sleeve where they asked you to stop, and then JR went and got us the Supreme thing tatted on his leg. How did that whole idea come about, and did anything negative come from it?
No, I wore it. We played Brooklyn. I wore it in the game, took it off second half. They told me to take it off. I was going to get fined. It was nothing, man. I was really just trying to be different. You know, I see they had the NBA logo on it. It had Nike logo on it, but it just said Supreme. So I wanted to be one of the ones who did it. And then it definitely created a lot of media attention, but I played terrible that game too, you know, so it wasn't nothing. Like I felt like I was doing a little too much too after that, cause I ain't play well. And I was so focused on like just breaking the internet on some young dude stuff that, it took me off of my game, and that's not it.
It's real of you to see that, but did they send you any gear after that? I mean,
hell
shit.
No, man. JR got the whole photo shoot. JR got a photo shoot with Supreme.
Oh, man.
They ain't send me nothing, man. But it's good. It's love. I still rock their stuff, so.
Yeah.
So thoughts on, you know, when Jack and I came in the league, it was white 5X, white tees, baggy pants, and then it went to walkers, and now it's to the game where it is now, which is at an all-time high. I kind of feel like NBA sets culture. You know, when we switched to suits, you start seeing other sports in suits. You start seeing rappers in suits. Mm-hmm. We kind of move the needle when it comes to fashion. You're definitely at the forefront of that in the NBA. What has been your thoughts on the progression of dress from, say, 20 years ago to today?
It's really like it's an ebb and flow, though, because the way music changed is the same way fashion changed. And if I think the NBA players, since we ain't able to like go out and have songs that's on the charts to influence the whole generation of people, they have to look at what we got on and what we doing and how we acting on the court to influence their music. You know what I'm saying? So nowadays, it's more like the young rappers who want to be rock stars, and you know, it's less of the real street dudes really out there kind of getting to it and sending their message out there. So I think that's the ebb and flow of it, because the new generation of artists, they try to wear baggy tight clothes, boot cut pants, just chains, all this type of stuff, but. You know, it all ties in together. You know, it's fashion and basketball and music is all one and the same, for real. It's just a different field. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know who really pushed the mold, but I know for a fact that, you know, we're more visible than a lot of rappers when it's our season time.
Hey, Matt, you said 20 years ago, the motherfucker was only 4 20 years ago, my bro. So you got say 10 years, saying, my nigga. Say 10 years. No, he was 4, bro. He was barely talking and walking at 4, bro. He wasn't flying 4. You feel me? Some of them, you know, maybe he was flying 4, but he didn't know what was going on. Say 10 years, bro. 20 years, you got to remember.
He might have.
We old heads, bro.
For real. Real shit, my bad. But I know he's seen what AI used to dress like with the chains and the white tees and the do-rag and the baggy pants. Like, we had AI. They changed the dress code because of him.
Yes, sir.
So to see where it came from and to, like, him leading the charge. Now, I just kind of want to feel what that vibe was, bro. That's it.
No. But I'm going to do something different, man. I mean, I'm going to be rocking my own brand's clothes, like, you know what saw from Dope Soul is not what Dope Soul is. That was just something to get us on the scene. You know, it's real high end cut and sew, real embroidery, real stuff like that. So I'm gonna try to switch that up, man. So everybody could be individuals, man. For real.
Yeah. Well, if you got any fly shit for older niggas such as myself, you know the address already.
Of course, man. For sure. I might need the measurements this time.
Bro. Hey. And also, happy early birthday, bro. You got a birthday coming up.
Thank you, loved one. I appreciate it, man.
Happy.
Yeah, 25.
So that's what I'm saying. So you've been through a lot, man. You've been in the league. What are you going? This is about to be your 7th year?
Yeah, something like that. Six or seven.
So you've seen all aspects of the game thus far. You know what I mean? You've been drafted 15, sat your first year, experienced success, traded, really found your footing, traded again, now traded to Golden State, where it's like, now it's time for this boy to make his name. Up to this point, what has just been your whole thought process of the NBA? Like I said, experienced so much at a young age already.
From being drafted to Washington and playing with John and Brad, who – when the time that I was with Brad, he was on the cusp of, you know, he wasn't an all-star yet. And then I seen John, who was an all-star, like, continuously year after year in his prime, like, I wouldn't say in his prime, but, like, in his real flow. And then I got to see Brad become an all-star, and then John kind of take the back seat and not be an all-star for a year because of his injury, obviously. And it was just like, yo, you know, you got to just keep staying with it. You know, you got to keep staying with it so that you can make a name for yourself, because it's about the collection of what you do over a span of time, not the collection of what you do over 1 year, 2 years. So,
right.
You know, I just got to stay with it, man, because I want to win championships. You know, I want to be an all-star, of course. And, you know, all that is the conversation and the formula for somebody to be potentially in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, as time ticks, man, you just got to continue to stay with it. And if, you know, Godspeed, if my time don't tick like that in my favor, at the end of the day, I know I got a lot of things going for me that I could just be a staple in this NBA, you know, before it's all said and done.
Now, you stay on the path you're going to get. You're going to get what you're looking for.
Gosh,
all right, we're coming down the stretch to the final questions. These are just quick hitters, whatever comes to your mind first. Toughest matchup you've had thus far in the league and why?
Jrue Holiday. Dude is a beast.
Everybody say this nigga name, man.
Dude is a beast, man. He don't waste no movements. He's strong and he's smart. So, like, I really salute to him. He's one of my favorite players in this league, for sure.
Yeah, mine
That's
too.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
Any artist you would like to be name dropped by?
I'm going to say Rod Wave.
Rod Wave,
man. Mm-hmm. He the ghetto gospel singer, for sure.
Yeah, shout out Rod Wave, man.
He nice, man, for sure.
If you were going to do an all-fashioned starting five for the NBA, obviously with you in it, who would be your other four counterparts in there?
Jordan Clarkson, James Johnson. I'm going to put Russ in there. Salute, Russ. Who else, man? I got to get a big fella in there, man. I'm going to put DeAndre Ayton in there. Yeah. He'll a fresh 7-footer. He just don't be caring enough to be dressing up to games and stuff. But I'm gonna say D'Angelo. D'Angelo got a smooth cat swag. Yeah. So
yeah. Y'all swag low key remind me of each other. The way y'all kind of just carry yourself and the way you can set trends on and off the court.
Right.
Five dinner guests, dead or alive, to have an amazing night conversation with.
Michael Jordan, Kobe, I need them two to go at it so I can really pick their brain about what they're going at it about. I'm going to go Prince.
You might want a lady at dinner.
You're right. I'm going to go with my my girlfriend, Shy.
Shy, okay.
Yeah.
Solid.
Shit, we good. It's me and her. I don't need nobody else.
You might need a young rapper in the mix, too.
I do. That's what I'm trying to think of, but I don't want to sell. Because, you know what I'm saying? People be kind of weird. People be weird, man. I'm going to have to go with somebody that's pop. I'm going to go with Lil Wayne, man, for sure.
Lil Wayne.
You can't go wrong with that.
Nah.
All right, Jack, before you ask the last question, let me ask you this. Who's your top? We haven't talked too much about music, but I know you're really into it. Who right now, who are your top? Three, five artists that you have heavy in rotation?
I'm going to go Rod Wave. Obviously, I said him earlier. I got Youngboy on there. He's speaking at...
Mm-hmm. Top, what's up, Top?
Yeah, he's speaking that murder music right now. I need that energy. And I'm going to go with Rex Life Raj. He's actually from the Bay. And I encourage y'all to listen to him if y'all haven't, man. He really he's like a preacher. You know what I'm saying? He just be speaking the things that you be thinking about, so... Rex Life Raj, man. Shout out for Raj, you're right.
Who do you want us to have on the show? Now, before you answer this, whatever your answer is, you have to be able to help us get them on this show. So who do you think should be on All the Smoke?
For sure. Who do I think should be on All the Smoke? Who has already been on All the Smoke? That's tough.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
You know what, man? I really want y'all to try to get Young Thug on the show. You know why?
Man!
Because, he's misunderstood, and he's a leader of a generation, for real. And I want him to be able to explain, why he wore the dress, why he did all that extra shit. But, at the end of the day, man, he makes some pretty different music, and it's kind of fire if you really listen to it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I love Slime. Yeah. A lot of people don't know this, but right when he first started blowing up, I had a house in Mapleton. He drove, because I've been rapping for years. He drove, came to my house, and did a song for me in my studio. So he always been a real, but he always been a real one. Slime always been a real one.
Man, for sure.
Shout out Thug,
for
sure. Shout out Thug.
No, I want to thank you guys, man, for sure.
Nah, thank you, man. Good luck.
Best
of luck.
Appreciate you.
You're in a great situation. Raymond Ritter, that's our guy. Great guy, man. Great team. I can't say enough good things about that organization, man. So I'm excited to see you get to work with them this season. So good luck with everything, bro.
Yeah, man. Make sure you tell Mike Brown and Steve Kerr, say what's happening.
I got you, B Dog. For sure.
For sure.
Appreciate you, OGs. Love.
Love, bro. Appreciate you.
The newest Golden State Warrior, Kelly Oubre, we appreciate your time, man. You can catch this on Showtime Basketball YouTube or the iHeart platform, Black Effects Podcast Network. We'll catch y'all next time.
Peace. This is All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.